It's winter. In fact, it's turning into one of those bone-chilling winters of yore. And with winter comes the Shanaki episode about snow. For the Shanaki, I'm Patrick McLean. I had heard that the Eskimos have 14 different words for snow. And since snow has been much on everyone's mind of late, I thought I would go find out. So I journeyed to the far frozen north, where I found a barren, desolate place where life is hard. A wasteland from which it seems that all hope and every ray of sunshine has fled. And it was in this place, which the natives call Detroit, that I changed planes and boarded a flight north to Alaska. From Anchorage, I took a snowplane even farther north. Then a dog sled, until finally I reached the remote village of Umlau Hai Amapapapapul, a lovely-sounding name which I later learned means cold-ass place near the even colder-ass sea. There I was met by my translator, Fran. He, or she, was so bundled up that I had no idea whether he was a he or she was a he, and it seemed inappropriate to lift the parka to check. That night, as I listened to the howl of a mighty Arctic wind batter the Quonset hut where I huddled for warmth, I was too excited to sleep. Here I was, about to delve into the mysteries of another language, to loot the Inuit tongue like an etymological Indiana Jones, and bring back the fabled 14 names of snow. I dreamed of the power of these names, and how they might change my life. Perhaps I would write a book, a New York Times bestseller with a catchy, poppy title like The 14 Kinds of Snow You Will Shovel. I could hear myself on NPR, discussing the names of snow in careful, modulated tones, as if my voice was draped in tweed and wearing lensless, heavy black glasses as an accessory. Ooh, maka 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 le ma shop.
That's quite a mouthful.
It's the snow that is like the skin of a leopard seal that has been dead for over 2 weeks and has dried up and flaked off in the wind.
Oh my, leopard seal. How gosh.
Well, you have to understand, leopard seal still very much in up there. It's a very, very red state when it comes to seal and whale blubber issues.
I should say so.
But most of all, I couldn't sleep because I was excited to find out what the names actually were. 14 different words for snow. What fine distinctions. What literary power would be mine when these words were firmly in my command? The next day, Fran and I went to meet with an elder of the tribe. The smoke was thick in the igloo, and it took a while for my eyes to adjust to the low, thick light of that handmade snow castle. The elder was a weathered old man squatting near the fire and wearing, for some inexplicable reason, a battered Miami Heat sweatshirt. I didn't know what to make of his attire or the inadvertent irony, but I had come this far, and it was time to ask. "Please, great sir, I have come from the lands of the south to humbly ask, by what names do you call snow?" I couldn't believe it. I asked again to be sure. As Fran had so ably translated, the old man had answered, "Snow. We just call it friggin' snow." It's one thing to admit defeat, but to admit defeat and then have a layover in Detroit to think about it, let me tell you, that's a kind of low you don't ever want to feel. Turns out the whole thing was a hoax. The Eskimo have a word for snow, and then they add other words to it, just like English. You know, like snow, fluffy snow, yellow snow, snow that's crappy for making igloos, snow cone snow. I felt so stupid. I mean, I should have checked right before I brought the plane ticket. At least before I rented that damn dog sled. My dreams of lexicographical stardom smashed. I felt like I didn't have anything to live for. I had this strong desire to wander out of the Detroit airport and into the streets, away from the life of comfort that I had built, to live by my wits amid the decaying city and lonely meth labs, clinging to the edges of life until one day I would be torn apart by a pack of dogs or perhaps a gang of feral auto workers. But then, in the midst of my despair, I was saved by an idea. The Eskimos might not have 14 names of snow, but that didn't mean that I couldn't make them up. And that's exactly what I did. Right there in the middle of the Detroit airport, I started writing. I was so absorbed I missed my flight, and the flight after that. But when I finally made it home, I returned triumphant. So here they are, world. The 14 Eskimo classifications of snow. Number 1. The damp, back-killing snow that's a bitch to shovel. Number 2. The snow that increases your chances of getting laid while falling while you are in a hot tub. Number 3. The snow that falls in response to children's prayers for school cancellation. Number 4. The heavily compacted snow of mall parking lot snowbergs that last well into the spring. Number 5. The snow that culls the weaker pine branches from the forest. Number 6. The cunning kamikaze snow that finds a way past your scarf to die sizzling on the bare skin of your neck. Number 7. The angry, high-velocity ice crystals that are birthed from ski resort snowmakers. Number 8. The snow that falls in Minnesota and then is blown into Wisconsin. Number 9. The tough Manhattan snow that gets pushed around, driven over, stepped on, brushed off, but never gives up its dream of a minor role in a Broadway production of A Christmas Carol. Number 10. The snow that thinks it's special and unique when it's falling, but realizes, when it hits the drift, that it's just like everybody else. Number 11. The mighty snow of the Rockies. Strong enough to close the pass, strand the travelers, and convince families to make a holiday tradition of cannibalism. Number 12. The snow of far-off, snow-capped peaks that many will see, but few will ever touch. Number 13. The sudden snow that makes a fool of the weatherman. And finally, number 14. The snow that the dog tracks into the house.